In the fifth chapter of Acts, we read of the works of the apostles, their preaching, the influence it had upon the people, and the reaction of the religious world to them. In verse 12 we read, "By the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest does no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him," which is the sect of the Sadducees, "and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." Now the apostles, as we see in this chapter and elsewhere, knew this life. They both knew about this life found in Jesus Christ, known by his gospel. But they knew also the reality of this life. They were just men like you and I, who were once dead in trespasses and sins, once blind to the things of God, unto whom Christ came, and unto whom Christ spake, and in the darkness of their lives, in the darkness of their world, in the darkness of their sin, the light of God shone forth. God's light and God's word came into their hearts. God spake unto these men, and they lived. God spake through his Son, Jesus Christ, and these dead men lived. And they came to know this life. And they came to know the words of this life. And Christ sent them forth to preach the words of this life. And what we read in this book of Acts is how they went forth, following Christ's death, following his resurrection, following the finishing of the work of salvation, how they went forth from Jerusalem to preach unto the people all the words of this life. And we see the impact that these few people had. They were nothings. They weren't greatly esteemed in the eyes of men. These weren't those who had reached the top echelons of power in this world. They weren't the great intellects. They weren't the great leaders of religion in the day. They were ordinary men, just sinners, upon whom God set his love, upon whom God set his grace, and in whom God brought forth life. He spake unto their souls and they lived. He spake in the power of the gospel to these who were dead, and by the Spirit of God they lived. The blind came to see. The deaf began to hear. The lame stood up and walked. The dead lived. And those who were brought to life went forth at Christ's command into the four corners of the earth, preaching the gospel, preaching all the words of this life. And the impact that they had upon the people was profound. We read of how they came and how they preached, and how the people came unto them because they recognized something in the speech of these men. And in the impact of that speech upon others, they saw the mighty work of God. They saw how these men had come to life. And they saw how others came to life. They saw how those who were sick were healed, both by Jesus himself when he was on this earth, and by these disciples and apostles that Christ sent forth. They were given power by Christ to heal the sick as a demonstration at that time, not to be continued, but as a physical demonstration of the power of God in the gospel. These signs and wonders were performed by them to demonstrate that here was something entering the world with their message, which could make those who were dead to live, which could make the sick whole. And it served as a purpose, as a sign to all the people at that day, that this was a reality. Now the reality that continues to this day is the effect of the message, the words of this life, in bringing the dead, the spiritually dead, to live. We have no need for the signs and the wonders that inaugurated the entrance of this message. But it was evident to those who heard and those who saw the preaching of the apostles at that time that God was at work. For here were men who were once dead but now lived. By the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest does no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. They heard their preaching, and they believed. Yes, they brought the physically sick, and they saw them healed. But it wasn't that they believed. They heard the words of the life that the apostles preached, which was found in Jesus Christ. And they, as sinners, recognized that they needed to be healed, not just of physical ailments, but they needed their real condition to be healed, their sin. They needed to be healed of their iniquity. They needed their sins to be washed away. They needed to be brought to life. And when they heard the words of this life, many at that time believed. The apostles knew this life. And when they preached, we see the reaction of the people to the words of this life. These were a people who had a need. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folk, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. They had a need. They were sick. They were vexed with unclean spirits. They were blind. They were deaf. They were lame. They were sinners, and they knew it. They had a need. And the needy will be drawn to this message. They'll be drawn to the gospel. Those who have a need and know they've got a need will come to the words of this life. They'll come to those who preach it. They'll want to hear it. And they'll have a hunger and a thirst for it. They'll have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness because they know they have none. They're needy. The people that came unto the apostles here were needy. Now many don't come. And many don't care for this message. And you might not care for this message. You might not care for the gospel and the things concerning Jesus Christ. You might say it can wait for another day. And if you do, it's because you don't have a need. You don't recognize the condition you're in. You don't recognize how sick you are, or how blind you are, or how deaf you are. You don't recognize the sin that's within, and the sins which you've committed, and the guilt which is all over you, and the condemnation of God, and the sentence of God which is written against you. You blissfully wander through life, growing older, day by day, living as though you will live forever, walking towards death backwards, as though it will never come upon you, and as though it will never affect you. You blissfully walk through life, multiplying sins, increasing condemnation, and acting like there will be no answer to it. Acting like the day will never come that you must answer for your state. And many walk backwards over the precipice of death. They fall over the cliff, as it were, when their day comes. And they've never truly considered their state. They shut their eyes to it. They shut their ears to it. And one day they wake up before a holy God. And they have to answer unto him for all that they have done, fought and said in this world. And they've got no answer. They shut their ears to the words of this life. They shut their ears to his voice and his message. They shut their ears to those whom he sent forth as messengers. They shut their ears to the truth. They did not care for it. They did not want it. They saw no need of it. And then when they stand before him, and his sentence rings in their ears, and the great horror of what is before them enters into them, and the realization that there's no return to this world, no return to this life in this world, no return from the condemnation of outer darkness and hellfire that stands before them. When they realize that, it's too late. It's too late. There's no return to that gospel day in which they once dwelt, but unto which they shut their ears. Is it too late for you? Will it be too late for you? Will one day you get up in the morning and walk out thinking that you will live forever, and you will be knocked down by a bus, or knocked down by a car, or struck down by disease, or simply your heart fails to beat because of old age? Will one day death come upon you and put its hand upon your shoulder and pull you the other side of the grave, and you'll wake up, stood before God, and it's too late? And will you look back and think, I did hear the gospel, or I could have heard the gospel. I knew there was a thing called the Bible. I heard of messages from its book. I heard that there were preachers, or I heard those preachers, and I didn't care, and I didn't think, and now it's too late, and all that they said and all that I heard was true. Will it be too late for you? Is it too late today? What is your reaction to the words of this life? Have you got a need? Well, if you never see your need, you'll never come like these did. And if you do come, you'll come in animosity. And you'll contend against the message. And you'll disparage the message and mock it and slander it and seek to silence it, but you'll have no care or desire for it. Well, these people came, and these that believed had a need, and they knew their need. And if you're going to know your need, God will show you your need. He'll make you hungry. He'll make you thirsty. All that you eat and drink of the pleasures and the riches and the ambitions and the desires of this world will run dry. Like the prodigal son who left home and went off to fill himself up, and everything ran out. And then he became hungry. He was eating with the pigs. All that he sought ran out, his money ran out. And then he came to his need, he came to himself, we read. God will show you your need. He'll make you hungry. And when you have a need, then you'll hear. Has God shown you your need of salvation? Has he shown you the depravity within your heart and the sin within your heart and the condemnation that's over your head? Has he shown you that there is a message of salvation declared by his apostles who come preaching all the words of this life? Has he shown you that you are dead and you need to live? That you are dead and you need this life? What is your reaction? You see the reaction of the people there. We then, in verse 17, see the reaction, thirdly, of the religious world to the words of this life and those that had this life and the preaching of this life. We see the reaction of the religious world. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. That's the reaction of the religious world to these men and their message and that life. They hated this life. They hated the words of this life. They hated those that declared this life. They hated their master Jesus Christ. They put him to death when he walked in their path. And they hated those that followed him with the same message. They hated this life. This was the religious world, and not even just religion in a general sense. This wasn't the religions of the world alone being opposed to Christ. This wasn't Islam and Buddha and all the other religions in the world. This was God's people at that time, supposedly. These were the Jews. And these apostles were Jews of the same country. These were, in those days, the supposed professing Christian church. In our day, these would be the Christian church or the professing Christian church and its reaction to the words of this life. These that should have known the truth, these that had the scriptures, these that had heard, these that should know, when they heard the words of this life from these men, were filled with indignation. Now the apostles were preaching truths which were found in the scriptures that the high priest and the Sadducees had. They weren't coming with something novel. They weren't coming with some new revelation. They weren't coming with some message that they said they'd been told by some prophet. Unheard of. They didn't come with words that Jesus had told them, which were sort of outside of the experience and the knowledge of the religious world of that day. Everything that they came with was in the scriptures that the high priest and the Sadducees had. The religious world in that place at that time had the scriptures which prophesied of the coming of Christ, which prophesied of Messiah, which prophesied of his death, which prophesied of his salvation, which prophesied of his resurrection. All that the apostles preached were in the very scriptures that the high priest and the Sadducees had before them. And all that their counterparts today preach, all that believers preach, that God sends forth with the words of this life, are in the same scriptures, the same Bible, that the vast majority of the professing world of Christendom has access to. All that we preach in this gospel of the words of this life are in the scriptures. And if you're religious, If you profess to be Christian, if you profess to follow Christ, you can pick up your Bible and you can read everything that we preach in this gospel of free and sovereign grace. You can read everything that the apostles preached in this gospel and you can verify it and see that it is true. It's not novelty. It's not, as the apostles write elsewhere, cunningly devised fables. All that they came preaching unto this people at the time was written in the scriptures. But the reaction of the religious world, the high priests and the Sadducees, was that they were filled with indignation. It wasn't how they saw the scriptures coming to their fulfillment. It wasn't how they interpreted the scriptures. And today you get the same reaction. When we preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified, the religious world rises up with indignation and says, that's not the Jesus we know. That's not the message we hold to. And they're filled with indignation, like you're coming at them with something novel and new, when in reality you're preaching the truth of the true Christ, the true Jesus who's revealed in the scriptures, and not the novelty and the tradition that they have embraced. Whether it's some new Jesus or some old Jesus, but it's always a false Jesus. When you come preaching the true Jesus, the true Christ, and the true words of this life, the religious world that's embraced a lie rises up in indignation. Now, what's your reaction to the message of the gospel? What's your reaction to the message of grace? Of electing grace? Of a sovereign God who saves whom He will? Of a Christ who came to save His people from their sins and nobody else? Of a God who chooses who will be saved and brings that people to hear and makes them willing in the day of His power? What's your reaction to a God that saves by His decree and not by the will of man? For the religious world today will tell you that we are saved when we make a decision. That God is there wanting everybody to be saved. That Jesus died for everyone. And He wants everyone to know Him. He wants everyone to come into a loving relationship with Him. God wants everyone to come to know His Son. He's there with open arms, pleading everyone to hear and to come under His Son. And yet most don't. And most die in their sins and most reject. Yet that's what they preach. They preach this God and this Christ who wants everyone to be saved. But He fails constantly because so few receive Him. So few love Him. So few accept His overtures of love unto them. They don't care for Him. But then some do. Some accept. Some receive Him. And the reason they do is because they chose to do what everyone else failed to do. Therefore, who gets the glory? God or them? They do. Because they made a decision that everyone else didn't. They chose to follow Jesus when everyone else didn't care. Oh, how good they are. That's the message which this religious world preaches. Salvation by the decision and the works of man, which is exactly what the high priest and the Sadducees preached in their day. Live by the law of God. Live this way and you will be saved. They lived a certain way and the common people didn't. And they, the priests and the scribes and the Pharisees and the religious, were a cut above everyone else because they were so zealous. They would be saved surely because they were walking in God's ways when everyone else didn't. So they made salvation dependent on what they did, and they had the glory. And when the apostles came with a message that said, no, you won't be saved by your works, because God finds your works wanting, because God finds even your best keeping of the law wanting. You're full of sin. You're full of pride. You think you'll be saved by your own works and will. It's just pride, and God hates the pride of man. When the apostles came preaching that it's God who saved, God will save in spite of you. God will save despite your arrogance and your pride. He'll choose if you're to be saved, and he'll bring you down humble before him and show you that your works are nothing, show you that your will was always set against him, show you that you're dead. Show you that you're only going to live if he saves you and brings you to life. Show you that salvation is of the Lord. When they came with that message, that salvation is of God by grace alone, the religious world was filled with indignation. Now when you hear the gospel of a sovereign God who comes to save his people through his Son, whom he offered up as a sacrifice freely for them. A God who wrought their salvation from start to finish. A God who takes everything into his own hands to deliver a dead people from their sins. When you hear that message, what does it fill you with? Does it fill you with indignation? Does it fill you with wonder and awe? Do you have a need and you come crying out, "Yes, Lord, have mercy upon me. I deserve thy wrath. I deserve thy judgment. I deserve to be left in blindness and deafness and darkness and death. But Lord, have mercy upon me." Or do you rage against this God who does it all, who's in control, who's on the throne, who won't let you have your will and your choice, who won't praise you for your works and your ways? What's your response to this message? The religious world hated it. They hated this life. And their response to the apostles was that they laid their hands on them and put them in the common prison. The religious world's response to this life, and to the words of this life, and to the messengers who come with the words of this life, to the preachers of the gospel, the religious world's response to the preachers of God's gospel is to put them in the common prison, is to take them away, is to silence them, is to take them out of the ears of the people. They say, "Don't go and preach." They commanded them not to preach in the name of Jesus. Don't go out and preach to people. They shut all the doors to them. And it's the same today. That's what the religious world does. It puts the people of God in a prison, as it were. It seeks to silence them. It locks them up. It shuts every door to them. So you will never find this religious world opening the doors of their churches and inviting the true preachers of God to come and preach unto their people. They have their meetings, they have their congregations, they gather every Sunday morning, and they have people stand up and talk, but they won't have those that God sends with his gospel. They'll invite every preacher and every teacher of any colour, any style, but they won't invite those that God sends. They're filled with indignation at them and their message. They're filled with indignation at the words of this life. And they shut the doors to them. They will never invite them. They will never have them back. If one of them ever comes in their midst and happens to stand up and speak before the people, they'll rage against them and they'll never have them back. And they'll say, "Go away, we don't want to hear this." Just like the religious here did. When the disciples, the apostles, went into the temple and preached to the people, and the religious saw the impact that they had upon the people, they raged against them. They did everything they could to silence them. They put them in the common prison. They shut them up. They hated it. And that's what they do today. They'll shut us up. They shut all the doors of their pulpits to this message. They'll never invite you to come and preach. They'll hold their meetings and their conferences and all that they do, all their entertaining meetings, but they won't have the gospel preached at it. And they won't have God's preachers come to it. They say they live, and yet they are dead. They hate the words of this life. They say they live. They talk about their own meetings, and they talk about them being lively. Oh, that's such a good meeting. Oh, that church, oh, they're really growing there. They're very lively. They're not like that dead old-fashioned place across the road. They're not like those old-fashioned meetings with their old-fashioned hymns and their old-fashioned Bible. Oh, they're so dead there. Oh, no, we've got the life. And by this, they mean they dress modern. They speak modern. They use modern versions, translations of the Bible. They speak in the manner of the world to entertain the world. And they have entertainment in their meeting that everybody loves, because the world loves its music and the world loves its entertainment and the world loves its jokes. And they take what is life in the world, what the world thinks is life, which is actually a living death. They take what the world thinks is lively and they bring it into their so-called churches and they say this is a lively meeting. It's not, it's a place of death. There's no spiritual life there. There's the flesh making a show and an appearance. There's the flesh of man in his natural state being entertained. And many will come into such meetings, just like many will go to the disco, many will go to the nightclub, many will watch this program on the television, many will go to this place of entertainment or that sport and event. People will go to what entertains them in this world, in the ways that they think are living, but there's just death in all of it. And there's death in these churches. There's no life in this. This isn't lively. This is dead. It slays you. And in so advocating what they call liveliness, and so shutting the door to the message of the gospel, the words of this life, they silence the apostles, they silence their message and they shut them and their message up in the common prison. That's what they seek to do with us. Get out of the way. Don't come to our meetings. Don't trouble us here. And you're cast out. You're an outcast if you know this message. They did it to the apostles. They did it to those that follow them today. They raged against them. They were full of indignation. This is what religion and its law does to us. It condemns. The religious world condemned them for preaching of the life that they discovered through Jesus Christ. These apostles were once dead men just like them. Just like these religious Sadducees. Just like the high priest. They were once dead in their sins just like the rest. But Christ had come unto these apostles. Christ had spoken unto them. Christ had shown unto them what they are by nature. They've been shown of God their great need of salvation. And Christ had spoken in his grace and in his love and in his mercy to them. And life had entered into their souls. They'd heard the words of this life and they lived. And they went forth unto other dead people like they once were, preaching of the wonders of God's grace and the wonders of God's salvation through Jesus Christ. They said, once we were blind, but now we see. Come unto a man, come see a man that told me all that ever I have done, all that I am. Come hear of Christ. He showed me what I was. He showed me how dead I was and he made me to live. Come hear of Christ. I was dead in my sins and he loved me. And he came and he died for me. He took my sins. He took my sorrows. He took the wrath of God against my sins. And he bore it for me. He took it away that I might live and I might be made righteous. In him I am the righteousness of God. He made me live. Come hear this message. And the religious world raged against it when they heard these men so speak. I've been born again, they said. Born again of God. Born again of the Spirit of God. And they said, don't talk to us about a new birth. We'll get to heaven by living as God tells us we should. We've lived pretty well. We're moral. We don't do this and that. Surely God will honour that. I don't know about your new birth and your new life and your gospel, but I know that God wants us to live a certain way. I'm living this way and I'll go that way. And they turn from the truth and they reject the truth and they're filled with indignation and they try to silence it. They say, stop preaching those things. You're just troubling people. You're making them feel guilty because of their sin when all they want to do is come and worship and be happy. You're making people feel convicted of their sins through your gospel preaching when we want them here on a Sunday at our worship meeting singing our choruses and having a wonderful time. We want to rejoice in the God of love that loves everyone and wants us all to be part of his family. And you come with this message of sovereign grace and of deliverance from sin and of total depravity by nature, and it gets everybody gloomy and condemned. Go away, you're making everybody troubled. Don't tell them that they're sinners. Don't speak of hell and judgment to come. We just want to know the good things. So it shuts up the message of the truth. It silences it. It puts it in the common prison. And you, believer, will be put in the common prison like the apostles were if you speak the words of this life. And if you go unto religion and hear its law and hear its message, all it will do to you is condemn you, lock you up and put you in prison. In fact, that's all the priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees could do. They came with the law of God. They came with a letter. And all it can do, if it's truly heard by us, will condemn us. And it will lock us up, not just in front of men, but before God. And we'll be shut up needing salvation. Needing the words of this life. So they silenced the apostles and they put them in the common prison. And in the common prison, we read, fifthly, that the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. The angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Here's one that delivered these apostles from the prison. He came unto them by night. He opened the prison doors and he brought them forth. He brought this life. Now who is this angel of the Lord? He's the same angel of the Lord, the same messenger of God that had come unto these apostles in the past, when they were brought to life, when they heard the gospel and when they were sent forth to preach. The same angel, the same messenger that saved them, comes again unto them here. He comes again for their deliverance. Although man will continually respond to them and keep putting them in prison and keep silencing them, their Saviour, the angel of the Lord, Jesus Christ, will keep coming to them, wherever they be. Even though man puts them back in a prison, he'll come unto them, and he'll lead them forth. And he'll say again unto them, don't worry about what men say. Go back to the temple. Go and stand in the temple, and speak to the people all the words of this life. He's the one that brought them life. He's the one that keeps bringing them life. He's the one that keeps bringing them forth. He's the one that keeps sending them forth. He's the one that is their life. He's the one that sustains their life. He's the one that declares their life. He's the one that through them made others to live. and they could do nothing but keep going forth and keep speaking the words of this life. This angel who came unto them by night was Christ himself. And there was a day in history, an hour in history, when he came into the darkness of this world. He came unto his people by night. And he came into this world, the Son of God, born a man, taken into unity with his Godhead, taken into unity with his divine person, humanity. He came, he was born a man, and he came to head to the cross. He came by night, and he came into the common prison where his people were found, locked up by sin, locked up by the world, locked up by religion, locked up by the darkness of the religion of this world. He came unto his people in the prison. And he opened the prison doors at the cross. They nailed this angel to the cross. They nailed this prince and saviour to the cross. The religious world tried to slay him. And at the cross, the hours of the day passed and the sun became darkened. And night came upon all the world, and the Son of God, the angel of the Lord, this Prince and this Saviour, bore the sins of his people in the darkness, in the night. He bore them. He bore the judgment and the wrath of God against those who were dead in trespasses and sins. He bore it for hours on end, until all God's wrath against that sin had been poured forth, until all had been suffered, until every penny, every price had been paid. He suffered under God's wrath in the night, in the darkness, in the prison where he found his people. And when he suffered to the end, there was no more judgment to be paid, no more price to be paid, no more cup of God's wrath to be drunk. He'd done it all. He delivered them. He saved them. And out of the prison he led them forth. He brought them forth. He took his people through death with him. He came and met them in the common prison. He met them at the cross and led them through the hours of darkness in the cross and brought them to that morning of the third day when they rose again with him, resurrected, resurrected in glory, resurrected in righteousness. And he led them forth and brought them forth and said unto that people, go, stand and speak into the temple to the people all the words of this life. That's where Christ found his apostles on the day he rose again. That's where Christ found his apostles having ascended unto glory in Jerusalem when he came unto them and said, gather in Jerusalem and wait for me to come. And he came down upon them and sent them forth and said, go and preach all the words of this life. He opened the prison door at the cross in the darkness when he delivered his people from their sins. Did he go through the darkness for you? Did he come to the common prison where you were and bring you forth? Has he brought you forth? Has he brought this life unto you? Has he said unto you, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life? Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people. Sixthly, the temple. This temple is where this life was made known. This temple is where this life is made known. This temple speaks of Christ himself. Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will build it up again. They took Christ and they slew him. The religious world, the scribes, the Pharisees, the high priests, the Sadducees, took Christ and slew him. And in 3 days, he rebuilt that temple that they'd set at naught. And all his people were found within him. All for whom he died in the darkness were found in Christ in the temple. And he says unto that people, from that day forth, go and stand and speak in the temple, speak in me to the people all the words of this life. Stand in me and in me alone. Stand in Christ and in Christ alone. Stand in the temple, resurrected, built again on the third day. Stand in this temple, not the temple of men, not the temple of the Jews, which was brought to nothing, not the churches of this world, the buildings of men, the trappings of religion, not their temples and their meeting places and their houses, but stand in the temple, stand in me, stand in Christ, stand in the everlasting temple of God, stand in the truth, and speak to the people all the words of this life, for the life is only found and only heard within this temple. It's only heard and found in Christ. He's the foundation. He's the chief cornerstone. There's the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, the truth of God, the words of this life. That is what the people of God are built upon. The people of God are built up as the church of Christ upon Christ and this foundation. Together they are one. Together they are the temple. And you will only hear the gospel in their midst. You will only hear the gospel from their lips. You will only hear the gospel as Christ speaks through them. You won't hear this gospel in the meeting places of this world. You won't hear this gospel in the Catholic churches. You won't hear this gospel in the Church of England steeples. You won't hear this gospel in the buildings of men. You'll hear this gospel in the people of God as they speak in Christ. You'll hear this gospel in the temple. Speak, stand and speak in the temple in Christ to the people all the words of this life. You can only speak the words of this life if you are in this temple, in the church, in Christ, as one of those whom he loved, for whom he died, and whom he saved. And seventhly, he says, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. This life is preached. It's spoken. The words of this life. If you're to live, if you're to be delivered out of the condemnation of God against your sins, if you're to be healed of your sicknesses, if you're to live and not live like the world speaks of living, and not live like the silly religious world speaks of living in their lively meetings, but if you're to live forever with eternal life and with everlasting righteousness, you will and you must hear this gospel of a Saviour who is sovereign, a Saviour who is the Son of God, a Saviour who came and suffered and died for his people, a people chosen of God the Father, given unto the Son, whose names are written upon his breastplate, written upon his heart, a people for whom he suffered, each and every one individually, a people whose sins he bore, a people whom he delivered in the darkness, in the night, when he came into the common prison where they were and opened the prison doors and brought them forth. Have you heard this life in this gospel? Has this angel of the Lord come into the common prison where you are? Has he brought you forth? And has he said unto you, and does he say unto you today, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. For if he has, and if you know this life, and if you've heard this life, and if you are in this life, if you know Christ who is the life, if you've heard him, if you love him, if you know him, then you can do nothing but go, stand, and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Man will keep putting you in the prison. Man will be filled with indignation. The religious world will hate you. The world outside will mock you. But those who are given a need, those who are given a need, those who are shown by God their sin, will come and will hear, and will hear what you say of Christ, and will know the life, and will receive the life, and will believe as these believed. Have you been brought to this life? Does Christ say unto you this day, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. This life. Amen.